It is true in one sense we do the work, but we do it from the strength that flows from the vine. And we only get the enablement of the Holy Spirit if we're abiding in Jesus' word. The way to spiritual victory is by the Spirit of God taking the Word of God, renewing our minds, and that transforms our behavior. That makes us productive.
Hello, radio listening friends. This is Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and this is Grace in Focus. I'd like you to know that you can find out more about us at faithalone.org. I'll repeat that address with more information in a few minutes. But the topic for today's discussion is a very important one. We're looking at a great chapter in John. For some, in fact, it might even be their favorite chapter. What does it mean when the branches get thrown into the fire in John 15? And what are some practical ways to abide in Christ? I'm sure you can't wait to find out, so let's jump right into today's discussion with Sean and Bob. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, Sean. I'm Bob Wilkin.
Well, today I want to talk about a verse in John chapter 15, verse 6. And here's what Jesus says. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, Jesus said that believers have everlasting life. That would suggest that our life can never be lost because it's everlasting. But then you get a passage like this, and people start to wonder, maybe life can be lost. What kind of burning is this? What's happening here?
Well, that's the question that people often don't ask. What type of burning is involved? What kind of fire? Look at the illustration. The illustration is an agricultural one, or viticulture, growing of grapes. And if you read the verses which precede, it talks about, for example, in verse 2, every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he either takes it away or he lifts it up. I think the best translation is he lifts it up. It's the Greek word iro. So that's what happened in viticulture, where if a branch was not fruit-bearing, they would put it on a trellis to give it a chance to produce grapes.
I've also read that if the branch is low-hanging, if it's just kind of hanging on the ground and it's not going to produce fruit that way, what they would do is they would prop up the branch with a rock,
yes,
allow it to get aerated,
yes,
and put it in a better position to bear fruit. And by the way, I should mention that that is an alternative translation that's mentioned in the New King James in a footnote. Lift it up. So that's what you would do to encourage fruit-bearing vines.
It's clear that in 1 through 6, the Lord is talking, what you just said, Sean, is talking about fruit-bearing. It's saying that fruit-bearing is linked to abiding in Christ. Notice in verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me.
All right, let's talk about that. What does abiding in Jesus mean?
Abiding is the Greek word meno, which means to remain, to dwell, to abide. And we saw this earlier in an earlier broadcast where we talked about John chapter 8, verses 30 through 32. In that passage, the Lord was speaking to some new believers. John tells us, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, there it is again, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The point there is that in order to truly be a follower of Christ or a learner after Christ, we must abide in his word. For example, in our context today, if a Christian is not going to church, is not hearing God's word taught, then he's not abiding in God's word, and he's not truly a disciple of Christ.
So in other words, what it takes to become a disciple, someone who's actually following Jesus, is more than that initial moment of faith. It takes abiding.
Right. You have to continue. And you notice in John 15, verse 3, Jesus says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. He said the same thing earlier in John chapter 13 with the foot washing experience. When he says you are already clean,
he means they've all taken baths and they don't need any showers.
No, Sean.
Oh, does he mean in a different way?
He means spiritually they're clean.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, they are forgiven. They are in their position. They are clean before God.
Is this what Peter calls the washing of regeneration?
I think it is what Peter would call the washing of regeneration. What he's saying here is, look, you're clean people, but whether you're going to be productive depends on whether you abide in me. Some people think, well, what he's saying is if you're truly born again, you're going to produce a lot of fruit. That's just the opposite of what he's saying. What he's saying is if you're clean, if you're born again, you have the potential to bear much fruit, but you may or you may not. And if you don't, he says you're going to be cast out as a branch. Well, this is an illustration from viticulture. And what they would do is if you had a branch that was not bearing fruit, it was just basically sapping the vine, they would cut it off and burn it. Now, the purpose of the burning of it is not to destroy the vine. Obviously, the vine continues on. Jesus calls himself the vine here. I am the vine, you are the branches. The thing is, unbelievers are not branches.
Right, so that's another indication.
Unbelievers are not connected to Jesus.
Right, that's another indication that this is about believers. This they're clean, they're attached to the vine. So this is something that happens to believers. And this happens only after they've already tried lifting up the unfruitful branches, right?
Right. And by the way, when it says they're burned, the Greek word used here for burning is not a word that refers to destroying or burning up. It refers to what we would call temporal judgment, judgment in time.
All right, tell us what that is.
What that is if a believer is not bearing fruit, then God is going to discipline that believer. He's going to bring about judgment in this life, certain problems and calamities, to get the believer to wake up and to get the believer to get to work. Of course, in the illustration, once a branch is burned up, it's done. But probably we should understand that this illustration means that there's going to be a fiery judgment for the believer who is not bearing fruit. But potentially that believer could be restored to fellowship with God and could begin producing fruit. That's speculative, but I mean, this could just be talking about premature death.
So Jesus is saying, if you don't abide in me, you need to watch out. If you don't abide in my word, if you don't live according to my commandments, if you don't let my word transform your mind so that then transforms your behavior, bad consequences can follow.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the word sanctification means set apart. Everyone in Christianity wants Christians to be set apart people, right? To experience progressive sanctification, where over time we're more and more like Christ. The question is, how do we accomplish that? Most people in Christianity have the mistaken notion that the way to be sanctified is by adopting certain spiritual disciplines, by dedication and commitment, by putting it in your planner that you're going to do this, that, and the other. And so you're working hard to set yourself apart. What does Jesus say we need to do to be sanctified? He says we have to abide in him and abide in his word. You see, he's the vine. We're not the vine. And a lot of Christians think we're the vine. They think we're the ones that's doing the work. Okay, it is true in one sense we do the work, but we do it from the strength that flows from the vine. Without enablement of the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't do any good works. And we only get the enablement of the Holy Spirit if we're abiding in Jesus' word, which means we have the right mindset. And that mindset must be that the way to spiritual victory is by the Spirit of God taking the Word of God, renewing our minds, and that transforms our behavior. That makes us productive.
So what are some practical things that people can do to abide in Christ?
Number one, far and away the most important, is to simply be a part of a solid Bible-teaching church. Remember Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The day refers to Christ's return and the judgment seat of Christ. Number one thing is being in a solid church.
So there's no Lone Ranger Christians. God did not design anybody to prosper spiritually all on their own. We were created to be part of a family, part of a church, and we need each other at the very least to encourage one another in living this Christian life.
Absolutely. Now, we have an anomaly today where there are some people who are Christians and they are serving Jesus and they're walking with him, but they don't go to church at all. That should not be.
That's not normal. It can happen. And if that's your situation, you might pray about moving.
No, if you're in a town, and we've heard from people who there's no solid Bible-teaching church in their town, well, then if you have to drive an hour or two on Sunday morning, do it. But if that doesn't even work, like Sean says, what's wrong with moving? People will move for a job. Wouldn't we move for church? So if you want to abide in Christ and his word, it starts with being discipled in a local assembly that clearly teaches the Word of God. Now, of course, we can follow up what we hear on Sunday by reading the Word ourselves.
So that's number two. You're hearing the Word preached and declared in the context of a local body of believers. And number two, you're in the Word every day of the week. You're studying it. You're listening to it on radio. You're listening to sermons on YouTube. You are actually reading the Bible for yourself.
Right. In our church, I'm on a plan where we read two chapters a day. I find that's very helpful. I think we've read, in the last 20 years, we've read through something like 13, 15 times through the Bible. It's very helpful to do that. But that doesn't replace the local church. That supports what we hear from the pulpit.
And is there anything else a person can do to abide in the Word? Could it be that you actually need to put it into practice?
Amen. You need to put it into practice. You need to be, as James would say, we need to be someone who not only hears the word, but does the word. And I would tie that in with prayer. We need to be a person of prayer that says, God, make me a fruitful branch. I want to please you. One of the things I like to do is just remind the Lord, my desire is to please him. Jesus said, if anyone does not abide in me, that's what we need to do. Christianity is a relationship with the God who created us, who died for us, who's coming again soon, and who we long to hear say, well done, good servant.
Thank you, Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar, for this practical discussion about abiding in Christ. Those are some great thoughts as we move toward the weekend. It's been so good to have you with us this past week, especially for these last few minutes. I hope you've been encouraged by this explanation of the branches and this exhortation to abide in Christ. This is Grace in Focus, a brand new radio program. We're praying that God will use this outreach to spread the news that His grace is absolutely free and that everlasting life is absolutely available to every person who simply believes Christ for it. You can learn more about the Grace Evangelical Society, our parent organization, by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. To those listening on the radio, we're offering a free subscription to our magazine, which has the same name as this radio program, Grace in Focus. It's published 6 times each year. Now, I read it myself, and I get a lot from it. We also would welcome a gift from you to help sustain this ministry, and you can do that through our website at faithalone.org. Once again, thanks for being here. Next time on Grace in Focus, there's a passage in Galatians which talks about falling from grace. This is a fear-inducing thought for some Christians. But on Monday's edition, we'll explain why it should not be fearsome. I'm Lucas Kitchen. Have a good weekend, and let's keep Grace in Focus.